And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
Charlie Moore for the Mail Online reports that Islam is the most common state-endorsed religion, as most Christian nations support their faith unofficially instead, research shows. Some 27 governments around the world officially endorse Islam, while Christianity is the state religion in only 13 countries, including the UK. But out of 40 governments which unofficially favour a particular religion, 28 legally or financially support Christianity. The Pew Research Center in Washington, D.C. analysed 199 countries and found that 43 have an official religion, 40 have a preferred religion, 106, including the US, have no preferred religion, and 10 are actively hostile to religious institutions. These are former or currently communist countries such as China, Cuba, North Korea, Vietnam, and several former Soviet republics. The report reads, "In some cases, state religions have roles that are largely ceremonial, but often the distinction comes with tangible advantages in terms of legal or tax status, ownership of real estate or other property, and access to financial support from the state. In addition, countries with state-endorsed or established faiths tend to more severely regulate religious practice, including placing restrictions on bans or minority religious groups. Most governments around the globe, however, are generally neutral towards religion," the report concludes. The Pew Research Center released the figures after it said Muslims would outnumber Christians by 2070. The religion's share of the world's population will equal the Christian share at roughly 32% each by 2070, the center claimed. By 2100, around 1% more of the world's population will be Muslim than Christian, its 2014 report said. Researchers said migration is among factors helping to increase the Muslim population in some regions, including North America and Europe. Pew analysis revealed Muslims are the fastest growing religious group in the world, and in 2010 there were 1.6 billion in the world, about 23% of the global population. But the figure is short of the 2.2 billion Christians, which made up 31% of the population. The research claimed Muslims are having more children than members of other religious groups, with each woman having an average of 3.1 offspring compared to 2.3 for all other groups combined. In 2010, the median age of all Muslims was 23, 7 years younger than non-Muslims. The report added, "While it does not change the global population, migration is helping to increase the Muslim population in some regions, including North America and Europe. Some 62% of the Muslims live in the Asia-Pacific region, with large populations in Indonesia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Iran, and Turkey," Pew researchers said. In 2050, India is set to take over from Indonesia as the country with the world's largest Muslim population, according to the study. Last year, there were 3.3 million Muslims of all ages in the US, about 1% of the population. By 2050, the share is predicted to climb to 2.1%. Archaeologists may be on the cusp of finding ruins beneath the ancient church that could house the remains of the saint behind Santa Claus. Located in the Antalya province in southern Turkey, Demre is known to be the birthplace of the much-revered Christian saint, St. Nicholas. During electronic surveys, researchers found there were gaps beneath the ancient St. Nicholas church. They now believe it could contain an undamaged grave and bones of the revered saint. If they're correct, it could settle a long-running debate about where he was laid to rest, as well as dash the hopes of millions of children. If they do find the 1,674-year-old remains, it would contradict locals' narratives, which suggest the relics are in Italy. After his death in the year 343, Nicholas was buried in his hometown of Myra. Arab forces who occupied Myra in the 11th century excavated the bones and brought them back to the Italian port of Bari, where they are buried to this day, it is widely claimed. However, these Turkish archaeologists are now suggesting the wrong bones were removed, and the ones that went to Italy belonged to an anonymous priest. Known for his gift-giving and charity to the poor, the 4th century saint was the inspiration behind the legend of Santa Claus. Records say St. Nicholas was buried at the church built in his name. However, his body's exact whereabouts have always been a mystery until now. The latest discovery support claims that St. Nicholas was born in the 3rd century and lived and died in Turkey. However, the tomb lies beneath a mosaic, so the tiles will need to be removed carefully. We believe this shrine has not been damaged at all, but it is quite difficult to get to it as there are mosaics on the floor. Head of Anyala's Monument Authority, Kemal Karabiyam, told Harriet Daily News. We have obtained very good results, but the real work starts now, he said. The temple is currently inaccessible due to the stone reliefs blocking it. We will reach the ground and maybe we will find the untouched body of St. Nicholas, he said. Researchers now believe at the time of his death in 343 AD, St. Nicholas was interred at the church in Demre, where he lay undisturbed until the 11th century. Previously, it was believed the 1,674-year-old remains were smuggled to the Italian city of Bari by merchants in the year 1087. Dr. Karabiyam suggests the wrong bones were taken when the church was burnt down and then reconstructed. He says he is optimistic about finding Santa's corpse in the new crypt. The expert is currently trying to hire researchers to carry out work at the tomb. Santa Claus is based on stories about St. Nicholas, who built a reputation for performing miracles and secretly giving gold to the needy. He famously said, "The giver of every good and perfect gift has called upon us to mimic God's giving by grace, through faith, and this is not of ourselves." On one occasion, according to stories, he climbed down a chimney to leave his donation. By the Middle Ages, Christmas had assimilated dozens of pagan traditions. Sacred words put to popular music became carols, and the quiet time in agriculture in December had been formalized as the 12 days of Christmas. Mr. Karabiyam said the team are currently looking for researchers to help carry out the rest of the work at the site that could prove this long-held theory wrong. And the origins of Santa Claus? St. Nicholas was the Bishop of Myrna in what is now in Turkey in the 4th century and was known for his generosity towards children. He was known for his secret gift-giving, such as putting coins into the shoes of people who left them out for him. This practice is still celebrated on his national feast day, December the 6th. The bishop was popularized in 6th century Europe as Father Christmas, who secretly gave the gifts. Young Dutch arrivals to the United States called St. Nicholas Sinterklaas, which later became Santa Claus. In modern depictions, St. Nicholas is represented as a portly old man dressed in red and white with a bushy beard. But some have suggested the original character wore green, and that his modern red and white colours are the result of a 1930s marketing campaign from soft drinks brand Coca-Cola. The former rector of a prominent Legion of Christ seminary in Rome is leaving the priesthood after admitting to having a secret family, including two children of his own, which he concealed for years from Roman Catholic authorities. The conservative Catholic order announced this weekend that Father Oscar Turian, a popular 49-year-old Spanish priest, was made rector of the Pontifical Maria Mater Ecclesiasti International College in Rome in 2014, will leave the priestly ministry in order to dedicate more time to a family he's raised clandestinely until now. Back in March, Father Turian first told his superiors at the Pontifical Maria Mater Ecclesiasti International College, which houses approximately 100 male diocesan seminarians from around the globe, that he had recently fathered a daughter. As Roman Catholic priests are bound to a vow of celibacy, the order offered him a period of reflection, and then in August appointed a substitute rector. The Legion revealed this week that he decided to leave the ministry after admitting that his infant daughter is in fact the second child he fathered with a woman he fell in love with several years ago when the order was going through a period of turmoil. He kept the firstborn child, a son reportedly born 8 years ago, and the ongoing relationship with the child's mother a closely guarded secret for years, including during the period he was being considered for rector. In a letter released by the Legion, Turian asked for prayers and forgiveness for the scandal and for my bad example. Popular and passionate about football, Father Turian was one of the few ordained priests invited each year to join the seminarians on the field in the Clericus Cup, an annual football tournament between teams from the Rome Seminary Colleges. The shock revelation has rattled the institution, which said in a statement it was saddened and conscious of the impact that the negative example had set to seminarians and the Christian faithful. The order faced a similar scandal in 2013 when American priest Thomas Williams, a professor of moral theology at the Legion's University in Rome and a prominent TV commentator, also announced he would leave the priesthood after admitting he had fathered a child. and in 2006, the Vatican sentenced its founder, Mexican Father Marcel Delgado, to a life of prayer and penance after discovering he had sexually abused seminarians and fathered at least three children out of wedlock. Today, the subject of how to manage priests secretly fathering children is gradually becoming less taboo inside the Vatican, thanks in part to the persistent efforts of Vincent Doyle, an Irish Catholic psychotherapist who discovered that his father had been a priest and went on to found the Coping International Support Group for Children of Priests, who, he said, often faced emotional, psychological and financial difficulties after years of living with guilty secrets. Earlier this year, Irish Catholic bishops passed new guidelines for the principles of responsibility regarding priests who father children while in the ministry, urging the well-being of the child to be put first, personally, legally, and financially. The Mail Online reports that he was once a humble traffic cop, but now he's Jesus Christ. Sergei Torop's followers in a remote corner of Siberia believe he is the literal reincarnation of the Son of God. Sporting wispy hair, a white cloak and sandals over his socks, the bearded 56-year-old calls himself Vissarion and says he's founder of the Church of the Last Testament. The former Red Army soldier, who claims he was reborn in 1991, is now the spiritual leader of at least 5,000 devoted followers in the small isolated village of Petropavlovka, more than 2,000 miles from Moscow. His believers who have given up their lives to follow him are strict vegans and are banned from smoking and drinking or handling money. Around 300 of them live in wooden huts in the village that has grown up around his church and which does not appear on any maps. Many thousands more have made their homes in the small villages that surround him and survived the vicious Siberian winters so that they can be close to their Messiah. On a mountain close by their village, a large bell tolls three times a day so the followers know when they should break off from their back-breaking work to kneel and pray. Vissarion himself whiles away his days painting in his chalet where he lives with his wife and six children, one of whom he adopted from a single mother in the commune. The BBC's Simon Reeve met Vissarion for a show airing recently. One of his followers told Reeve, "We have a school of noble mavens here. We're preparing girls to become future wives, future brides for worthy men. She has to understand not to rise above the man, not to be proud of her independence, but to be shy, inconspicuous, and weak." Reeve calls the cult scary stuff, adding, "I genuinely felt I should be calling social services. They're teaching Vissarion's 10-volume sequel to the Bible." Vissarion is an example of Russians' predilection for personality cults, which lead back to at least the days of Rasputin, the mystic who befriended Tsar Nicholas II. Both Lenin and Stalin tapped into the Russian people's eagerness to embrace powerful figures and actively fostered the almost religious fervour with which they were worshipped. After a time spent in the army, Torop had been working as a traffic policeman, the night shift, in the small Siberian town of Minisinsk until he was made unemployed. Suddenly something awoke inside him, he says, and he instantly knew that he was the second coming of Christ, 2,000 years after he was first crucified. He says that he realized God had sent him to earth to teach mankind about the evils of war and havoc we were wreaking on the environment. With Christmas abolished, his followers mark the day of his first sermon on August the 18th as their special feast day. Time in the community is measured by Vissarion's life, and so, as he is 56 years old, his church is now living in year 57. Critics in Russia have accused him of fleecing his loyal community of followers for personal gain. In recent years, he has travelled to France, Italy and Holland to convert new followers, although he claims that his visits were sponsored by his hosts and that his church makes no money. And finally, young pigs that were saved from a fire in southwest England early this year have been served to their rescuers as sausages by the farmer who wanted to thank the firefighters for their efforts. The 18 piglets and two sows were rescued after an electrical fault set hay on fire at a farm in Milton Lilburn, 70 miles west of London in February. And when the pigs were slaughtered, farmer Rachel Rivers said it was appropriate to give the firefighters some of the sausages to show her appreciation. "I'm sure vegetarians will hate this," Rivers told the BBC, explaining that farming was her way of life. "I wanted to thank them. I promised at the time I'd bring down some sausages for them, which they all pleased about." A spokesman for the fire service said the sausages were fantastic and thanked Rivers for her generosity. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK.
Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.